वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 60 टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। ताम रूपिणीं श्रियमनन्यं गतिं निरीक्ष्य या लीलया धृततनोरनुरूपरूपा प्रीतः स्मयन् अलककुण्डलनिष्ककण्ठ वक्त्रोल्लसत्स्मितशुधं हरिराभभाषे ताम रूपिणीं श्रियमनन्यगतिं निरीक्ष्य या लीलया धृततनोरनुरूपरूपा प्रीतः स्मयन्नलककुण्डलनिष्ककण्ठ वक्त्रोल्लसत्स्मितसुधां हरिराभभाषे ताम रूपिणीं श्रियमनन्यगतिं निरीक्ष्य या लीलया धृततनोरनुरूपरूपा प्रीतः स्मयन्नलककुण्डलनिष्ककण्ठ वक्त्रोल्लसत्स्मितसुधां हरिराभभाषे
माताजीज़,
ताम हर रूपिणीम अपियरिंग इन पर्सन श्रियम द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून अनन्य हैविंग नो अदर गतिम गोल निरीक्ष सींग या शी हु लीलया एज हिज पास्ट टाइम धृत ऑफ हिम हु अज्यूम्स तनोह बॉडीज अनुरूप कॉरेस्पॉन्डिंग रूपा हुज फॉर्म्स प्रीतः प्लीज्ड स्मयन स्माइलिंग अलक विथ लॉक्स ऑफ हेयर कुंडल इयरिंग्स निष्क नेक ऑर्नमेंट कंठ ऑन हर थ्रोट वक्त्र फेस उल्लसत ब्राइट एंड हैप्पी स्मित स्माइल सुधाम नेक्टर हरि ही लॉर्ड कृष्ण आबभाषी स्पोक ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपोर्ट एज ही कॉन्टेम्पलेटेड हर द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून हर सेल्फ हु डिजायर्स ओनली हिम लॉर्ड कृष्ण स्माइल्ड द लॉर्ड अज्यूम्स वेरियस फॉर्म्स टू एनैक्ट हिज पास्ट टाइम्स And he was pleased that the form the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Purport. Sridhar Swami has quoted an interesting verse spoken by Sri Parashar in the Vishnu Purana. Devatve deva deheyam manushyatve cha manushi Vishnur dehana rupam vai karo teshatmanastanum. When the Lord appears as a demigod, she, the goddess of fortune, takes the form of a demigoddess. And when he appears as a human being, she takes a human-like form. Thus, the body she assumes matches the one Lord Vishnu takes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti adds that as Lord Krishna is even more beautiful than the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Krishna's consort, Rukmini Devi, is even more attractive than the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha world. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी शभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवाशादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As he contemplated her, the goddess of fortune herself, who desires only him, Lord Krishna smiled. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased that the form the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Hare Krishna. Beg the blessings of all the devotees here. I can speak on this pastime. This chapter is entitled Krishna Teases Rukmini. So in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the family life of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is being revealed. Rukmini is Krishna's Patharani, is the principal queen. He has a very large family. He has 16,108 queens. Opposed to today's principle of a small family, chota parivar, hum do, hamare do, the Lord has 16,108 queens. And out of that, the eight are very, very special, very principal queens. Rukmini is one, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Kalindi, Bhadra, Nagnajiti, Lakshmana. So like that there are eight of them. And out of all of them, Rukmini is especially very special because she was the first. So it's natural, you see, to feel special. She is special, and so it's quite natural that she feels a little special and she feels a little important. And therefore, this pastime has been enacted, as the acharyas explain, that little sense of pride that arose in the heart of Rukmini, the Lord enacted this pastime so that she could be humbled a little bit and also joke with her so that, he could have a good time, basically. So this is a discussion between a husband and a wife, the Supreme Lord himself. This is our many teachings for grihasthas of how they can live a happy married life. And it feels a little awkward for a brahmachari to speak, such things, because I certainly preach to congregation, and I know certain times when you are discussing with counselors and sometimes grihasthas, and when you're caught in between an argument or a discussion, you get to hear something like that, ki Prabhu, we are grihasthas, we know what are the trouble of managing family, going to work and coming back and managing devotional life. It's not easy, Prabhuji. It's bahut mushkil hai, Prabhuji. Aap samajhte nahi. So what can you say to such a thing? Somebody It's a factor, because how can a, you know, what teaching can a celibate give to grihasthas? It's not possible. It is not a topic. At least I'm not the best person to speak on this subject matter. But still, there are certain principles to be learnt in this exchange. Because the principles remain the same. It's easy to get married, you see, but it is difficult to maintain a marriage. So many people getting married. It's easy to become a disciple, but it is very difficult to remain a disciple. It's easy to make a friend, Facebook, but it is very difficult to maintain them. So the principle of maintaining any relationship remains the same. So we can see from that point of view that whether it is married life or it is the life of a disciple or it's the life of a friend with another, the principles are the same. You see, because it's difficult today. Relationships are breaking apart. That's what we say in our, you see, Gita courses. We say we are an age of taller buildings and shorter tempers. We are the age of broader freeways and narrower viewpoints. We are the age of bigger houses and smaller families. We are the age of more degrees and less sense. We are the age of more experts and less solutions. We are the age of tons of information and no transformation. So certainly this is the age of broken relationships. Previously, parents used to tell their children, "Are beta, kya kar raha hai? At this age, you should have got married and had 2-3 children." Nowadays, dialogue has changed. People say, "Are beta, kya kar raha hai? Now you should have been married and had 2-3 wives by now. Or 2-3 husbands by now, whatever." You see, the times have changed so much that certainly these principles of maintaining relationships are very critical, and people are looking up for solid solutions. And here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the life of the Supreme Lord, we can learn very important principles, especially this chapter. Krishna teases Rukmini. What are the pleasures of family life? And in the forthcoming verses, it is there. If one reads carefully, we can pick up certain tips. How to be happy. So, therefore, Krishna, as we can see, we just celebrated Ram Navami. Very auspicious day. And we heard about how Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, is Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan. Maryadit, everything is Maryada Purvak. He didn't do anything beyond any Maryada. Lord Sri Krishna also has followed all the Maryadas. Nothing, you cannot find any loopholes in how he behaved. There is an explanation for everything. But to understand them, one needs a lot of intelligence and a lot of knowledge of the Shastra to see that despite so many controversies of why he danced with the women of others' wives and all those things, but if you go to the tattva, if you go to the science of it, you can understand that it is all proper philosophy. Is it not? So therefore, but still, Lord Krishna's pastimes are controversial because not many people have a very solid foundation in Shastra and Siddhanta. You see, devotees have no problem in accepting what Lord Krishna did in totality. We don't exclude anything. We, you know, everything, all inclusive. Everything that the Lord has done is perfect. But still, Lord Krishna's leelas are a little difficult to understand. And therefore, when it comes to taking lessons or trying to imitate it, we would be better off imitating Lord Ram than Krishna. whether or not. One can just blindly follow Lord Ram, no issues. Close your eyes and follow what he did. Because there's not an iota of, any controversy in what Lord Ram did. Still, refined controversy in what Lord Ram did. Why did he banish his wife to the forest? That's also there. But still, it comes to acharana, it comes to vyavahar. Ram dharmavan vigraha. So he's the embodiment of dharma. People know Ram to be Bhagavan, but to be an embodiment of dharma, that very few people know. So therefore people, today the problem is that people imitate Krishna and follow Ram, when in actuality they should be doing the opposite. They should be imitating Ram and following Krishna, because in actuality there are no instructions given by Lord Ram. It's all about how he is behaving. Sitayam charitam mahat. It is what Ramayana is all about, his charitra. It's all about the charitra of Mother Sita. And there's hardly any instructions there. But we see that teachings of Krishna are there in the form of the Gita. So many instructions to follow. But when it comes to following Krishna, they didn't do it. You see, that is the problem today. So they follow Ram and they imitate Krishna. So here are very important principles here, his dealings with Rukmini. Certainly a lot of things to learn in his behavior here. So Acharya explains that just like in the previous verses we read that just as you rub camphor or sandalwood, it gives a fragrance. So similarly the Lord in jest, in his joking behavior, he's trying to tease Rukmini and see her angry, and he's trying to take pleasure out of that. Because the wonderful qualities of Rukmini will be manifest. So that is the whole idea. So the Lord does not like to see false pride in his devotee. Of course, Rukmini is not proud. She could be a little possessive, but she never loses her temper. That is Rukmini's character. The character of Rukmini is described in the Shastra. Unlike Satyabhama, who is a bit possessive, and when she sees like for example, Krishna, he brought down or he gave a flower, Parijat flower, to Rukmini. So Satyabhama wanted the whole tree. Why did you give her a flower? So you get me a whole tree. So she became a little possessive and she gets angry. But Rukmini's nature is not like that. She's very, very cool. She never loses her temper. So because of not seeing anger on the face of his wife, the Lord also desired to see that aspect. Wanted to see her angry. He wanted to agitate her. But the thing is that if the Lord desires, that must happen. If the Lord desires, Ichha Shakti is very strong. But it is explained that Prem is so strong, the love of Rukmini is so strong, that it overpowers his Ichha Shakti also. I mean, what he desires, that is also not fulfilled. Because Rukmini never lost her temper, even after this, what happened. So, we can see that even though Lord Krishna joked with Rukmini, we can see that he did it very wonderfully. When we joke, see, there are various ways of when you laugh, you know, what do you laugh at? You laugh at a joke, when there is jest, you joke, when there is satire, you joke, when there is parody, you joke. Is it not? You like to joke. If you analyze carefully, what is humor? What is a joke? Devotees love jokes. And there are many acharyas of jokes. Actually, if you see, joke means it is basically a tickling of false ego. Joke is generally poked at somebody. Somebody is the butt of a joke. And he's made to look like a fool, and everybody takes great pleasure in that. Oh, just, and everybody laughs. Everybody laughs when somebody else is at the butt of a joke. But we find it very difficult when we become the butt of the joke. Is that not? Nobody likes to be joked at, but we like to joke at others. That's why you see the psychology behind joke is that generally a person on a superior level would joke with a junior. But if a junior tries to joke the other way, it's taken as offense. So that's the psychology behind jest, parody, satire. You see. So now here we can see another level of humor, of jest. The Lord is poking fun at Rukmini, but how is she doing it? It's not... He's undermining himself and he's glorifying Rukmini. And he's saying that I am not worthy of you. You are so qualified. I am not a king. You are the daughter of a king. You were meant to marry a king. I'm not even a king. There were so many kings willing to marry a beautiful princess like you. But still you chose me. Who am I? I have a reputation of having run away from a battle. And who am I? I'm not a Vaishya or a Shudra. I am a Kshatriya. And for a Kshatriya to run away from battle is the greatest disgrace. So in that way, so many such things, and it will come in the future. I don't want to deprive the forthcoming speakers of their points. So having undermined himself and having glorified Rukmini, he is trying to invoke a feeling of separation by saying that, so therefore you are not, I am not worthy of you, and therefore you are still young, why don't you find another husband for yourself? And you see, people like us are detached. We are not interested in wife and family and children. I'm detached. Why I kidnapped you? Now Rukmini was kidnapped. So that's another reason why she felt special. Because Krishna personally came to take her. So again, a feeling of pride. So here Krishna is again crushing that pride. If it was there, certainly it was. There is no pride in Rukmini. But he's saying, oh, I only kidnapped you because, see, I had to humble Shishupal and Rukmini, your brother, and all the other kings who were assembled there. For them, actually. As I have no interest in family, wife, children. So you see, I don't even have good behavior. I ran away from battle, that's one thing. At least good behavior should be seen. That also is not there. Not responsibility. No responsibility. So therefore, I would suggest that you find a suitable husband and... So, in a very amazing, very sensitive, his well thought, and you see, we can learn how to joke also. If you want to poke fun at somebody, at what cost, at whose cost. So, he made himself the butt of the joke, and he glorified Rukmini, and said that, so now, therefore, you find another husband. And invoked the feeling of separation in Rukmini. And Rukmini, she went into a swoon and collapsed. Amazing, you see. How sensitive, how wonderful. So these are the ways of highly evolved human beings. Now he's playing the part of a human being, so we can learn a lot from that. How even in joke, there's nothing wrong in being casual, there's nothing wrong in being informal, but there's no need to be offensive. In being intimate, in being casual, there is no need to be offensive. Krishna was not offensive to Rukmini. He didn't insult her. He just said, why don't you leave and find, you are so glorious, I am nothing. So always it is on a positive note. Nothing discouraging about it. Very wonderful lesson in dealings. So that way, that is the art of humbling somebody. Of, a very civilized way of doing it. Krishna could do that. There is another pastime we see in Mahabharata when the Lord was enacting his final pastime, his departure, when he decided to leave. At that time, the Lord, he remembered the words of Durvas Muni that you will choose the hour of your departure and your body will be impregnable except your feet. And he sits with his left leg on his right thigh and the hunter comes and shoots his feet and he is wounded and he is ready for departure. Yeah? So that pastime is there. So that story is there. If you go to Dwarka, there is a main temple of Krishna and 2 kilometers from there is Rukmini temple. The wonderful story that how the Lord decided to humble Rukmini. And therefore once he decided to invite Durvas Muni to his house in Dwarka. And Durvas Muni is not a guest so easy to please. Very few people would actually have the guts to invite Durvas Muni. Because he had a very, a very temperamental person. Sometimes he would not eat anything. Sometimes he would eat a lot. Sometimes he would just go into meditation. Sometimes he would leave the house. He would come back, throw a tantrum. Do really wild, unexpected things. Unexpected. So it would, certainly it's humbling to serve such a guest, is it not? And serving a guest is one of the greatest duties of a householder life. So it takes humility. And for a grihastha, to serve a guest is one of the very important duties. Matru devo bhava, pitru devo bhava, atiti devo bhava, acharyo devo bhava, atiti devo bhava. So the fourth is atiti devo bhava. Fourth. The gods is fifth place. So even God, before God is serving the guest. So Durva said, okay, I will come. But the condition was that you should send a chariot to carry me to Dwarka. Or whatever the case was. Probably he was in Dwarka and he wanted to go somewhere. And he said, you have to draw me on a chariot. Not driven by horses or not driven by bulls. But you yourself, you both, Krishna and Rukmini, should pull the chariot. And we have heard of stories of how Krishna is, humble. And he draws the chariot of Arjun. But here we see in this pastime that Krishna is even humbler than that. You see, he accepted the position of a horse, of a bull. He personally pulled the chariot. So anyway, that was the humility, you see. That's why he's God. Anor aniyan mahato mahinya. Why is he God? Because he's smaller than the atom also. Who can be the biggest of the biggest? One who can be the smallest of the smallest. So when it comes to giving lessons on humility, nobody can surpass Krishna. So Krishna agreed to pull the chariot and Rukmini also had to pull, but she couldn't. And in that process she became very exhausted and she was thirsty and she looked at Krishna, please give me some water. And Krishna, he punched a hole in the ground with his foot and out came the Ganges. And Rukmini quenched her thirst and Durvas was vexed. Yeah, you're drinking water. I'm the guest here and you're not even offered me anything. And he cursed her that you should perform tapasya. You should atone for your sins, that way. And we see that Rukmini came there to that place in Dwarka where she performed 12 years. She was separated from Krishna because of that. Durvas cursed her that you will be separated from your husband and also cursed the land that nowhere in that land there will be sweet drinking water. And today also in Dwarka there is no sweet drinking water. So that was a very humbling experience again for Rukmini. And Krishna again, after that it is said that Durvas Muni, he told Krishna, get me payasam, I want to drink payasam. So Krishna immediately arranged for payasam, nice hot payasam, and Durvas drank it and little bit what was left, he told, now you apply it on your body. I want to see you apply it on your body. And Krishna applies it on his body. He applies it everywhere, but he doesn't apply under his feet. Obviously, he's standing on his feet. And it's offensive to put food under the feet, is it not? So he put it everywhere. He was very humble. In one sense, you could see it's like ragging, you see. Durvas Muni. It's like ragging. What? What kind of... The extent to which the Lord Himself was tested. The Lord is showing, oh my dearmost living entities, my children, when you live in this world, live a humble life. I am tolerating so many insults, so why don't you? Lord Krishna, He bore the kick of Bhrigu on His chest, just to show that this is how you tolerate an insult. And as Mahaprabhu, He comes and He gives the same example. Trinadapi suni chena taru rivasaheshuna. Learn humility from a blade of grass. Why a blade of grass example is given? Because when you put your feet on a blade, it flexes. You know, that's why you see that even in a storm, the trees are blown away, but the grass remains where it is. Just because it has that one quality that it flexes. Very flexible, malleable, ductile, in engineering language we say. Shape it the way you want. And so, flexibility is one thing. You just mold according to the situation. A humble person is always happy in life. That's why grass is always, in all situations, resilient to all the upheavals. However, if you see it, sometimes the tree is there, it's got very hard branches. The tree is blown away by the wind, by the storm. So those who are... That's why there is a very wonderful saying somebody told me. Jo jhukta hai, usme jaan hai. Jo jhukta hai, usme jaan hai. Akad to murdon ki pehchan hai. Jo jhukta hai na, usme jaan hai. Akad murdon ki pehchan hai. So, therefore, Krishna is saying, be like a blade of grass. And if you want to learn tolerance, you learn it from a tree. Why? See, throw a stone at a tree and it will give you a fruit. You cut it down, it will give itself for your service. So the Lord applied all this payasam all over His body and left out His feet. So the Durvasa said, oh ho, I am very happy with your conduct, but why didn't you apply the payasam under your feet? And because of that, your body has become impregnable. It cannot be penetrated by any weapon. Thus, I benedict you. And I also bless you that you will be the most loved deity in this universe. You and Rukmini Devi. And I also warn you that your feet will remain vulnerable to the wounds of a spear or an arrow. And thus we see that, and also blesses him that you can choose the hour of your departure. So the Lord, thus at the last hour, He remembers this words of Durvasa and also remembers the lessons Durvasa taught Him, the lessons on humility. And here we can also see that how Rukmini, again, is getting another few little lessons on humility. So we can see that the Lord is very sensitive. He's very forthcoming. And He's very accommodative. And we see that in here in this pastime, as it is explained, also in the purport, Sridhar Swami has quoted an interesting verse that when the Lord appears as a demigod, she, the goddess of fortune, takes the form of a demigoddess. And when He appears as a human being, she takes a human-like form. Thus the body she assumes matches the one Lord Vishnu takes. So wonderful principle, nice siddhanta, nice tattva. Krishna says, as it is a popular saying in English, God has made man in his own image. God has made man in his own image. Wonderful. So we have two hands, we have two legs, we have eyes, we have nose, just like Krishna. That's great. But that only partially explains the situation, the world situation, is it not? Now there are women also, what about them? So therefore, God has made women in the image of Srimati Radharani. Explains. So here it is. So who is Radharani? Who is Rukmini? She is the source of everybody, all the gopis. In fact, that's what also in the Garga Samhita, there is an explanation that how Radharani is the source of all the gopis. She is the source of Bhumi, Viraja and everybody. Ramaya rakara syad akaro tvadi gopika dhakaro dharaya hi syad akaro viraja nadi radha. The Vishleshan of Radha. Ramaya rakarasyat. Ra. What is that? Ramaya. The goddess of fortune. Rukmini Devi. She is also the source of goddess of fortune. Akaro tvadi gopika. She is the original gopi. Dhakaro dharaya hi syad. She is Bhumi Devi. And akaro virajanari. Radha. That is viraja. She is Viraja Gopi. She is Mukti. She gives liberation also. So, she is the source of everything. So, also we can see that the women folk are also made in the image of the Supreme Goddess. So, God has two sides. The masculine side and the feminine side. And that's a complete understanding. You see, God, why should God just be a male? Well, God is a female also. A male is personification of strictness, of discipline, of harshness. A female is representation of mercy, of softness, of forgiveness. She represents the softer side of creation, of the mercy side, compassionate side of creation, of God. That's why a child who gets mother's love and father's love is a very balanced person. Because mother is very forgiving, she loves a lot, but father is always disciplining. So to see God as only a male is not a complete understanding. So therefore in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, we have a very beautiful explanation of how God is both a man and a woman. Muta gods. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladhini Shaktir Asmat Ekat Manav Abhibhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gatautau Chaitanya Khyam Api bhuvi pura tadvayam chaikyam aptam radha bhava swalitam naumi krishna swarupam. That who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When Lord Krishna, when Krishna comes, Radha comes. When Krishna comes, Rukmini comes. When Ramchandra comes, Mother Sita comes. When Narayan comes, Lakshmi comes. When Mahaprabhu comes, Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya, and of course Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes as a combined as Radha Krishna. Ekatmana obhi bhuvi pura deha bhedam. They are actually one but who have different bodies, two bodies. And both of them are present in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is a complete understanding of God. That there's a father, there's a mother, there's a husband, there's a wife, there's a male, there's a female. So the female population, they represents the soft side of the society. And this is a very interesting principle if you analyze. From the dawn of creation, Srimad Bhagavatam explains Swayambhu Manu having five children. Out of them, three are daughters, two are boys. Akuti, Prasuti, Devahuti, Uttanabad, Priyavrat. Interesting, you see the ratio is about 0.7, male to female. Today, if you see the population of male to female, it's about 1.01, 1.2 or something like that. Which means the male population is greater than the female population. There's something wrong in the society actually. And that's why probably is the cause of so much of violence in the society. Because the soft part of the society is lesser in number. Because that's why, if you see in the previous ages, now as we have already discussed in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the previous ages, as we saw that how Lord Shri Krishna married 16,108, it was an age of polygamy. One husband could take many wives. What was the reason for that? Because there were more women than men. And because of that, the women got shelter. And Kshatriyas, being passionate in nature, they could, if they fell in love with a woman, more than one woman, they could still marry and fulfill their desire for association of another wife. But it's not irresponsible enjoyment. He takes the responsibility of the girl, and the girl gets protection. He gets his engagement. And there is good balance in the society. So we saw that how the Lord acceptance of 16,108 queens was not because of lust. It was because those queens who were kidnapped by Narakasura were arrested, and the Lord released them, and they had nowhere to go, because women once touched in the Vedic times, if once touched, these days we shake hands and everything, embrace and all that. But they were not accepted by anybody. So the Lord released them and said, okay, you may go where you want to go. So what do you want to do? And the women said, well, the only recourse for us is to commit suicide. Because what can we do? The society will not accept us. The society didn't accept Sita, Mother Sita. And what to speak of accepting Mother Sita? Even after she passed the Agni Pariksha, they were still doubting her. What to do? This is the nature of a woman. This is the situation of a woman. And who will accept us? Oh, so Satyabhama suggested that already you get married to our children. But how many children? How can a person give shelter to 16,108 women? Man, that's like a huge army. You know, see, and it's like even in a Sunday feast, we have only 3,000 people coming. Yatra goes for with around 5,000 people in Yatra. It's not 10,000. This is 16,108 of that is a lot of queens. So the Lord, okay, on that condition, to save them from potential suicide was a service. It was not lust. You see, people say, "Arey, Bhagwan ne 16,108 patniyan kyun banaye? Arey, kyun banaye? Kya banaye?" This was the reason. You see how amazingly it was described in the previous talks, that the Lord has done it as a service. But again, if you want to imitate that, we have to see that how the Lord gave shelter to everyone. It's not that He made a house and said, 16,108 kamre hain, ek ek le lo. He could have done that. It's so easy. But He constructed each and every woman was given a palace. And not only that, He was personally present with each and every one of them. See, spiritual life is all about personal relationship. That's the beauty of it. It's not impersonal. It's not that, okay, it was not that, even the marriage ceremony was not in an impersonal way, like sometimes may happen, because we are limited. Like in Diksha ceremonies, we have hundreds of people sitting and one Yajna Kunda and Swaha, one guru giving initiation to so many people. It can get impersonal at times, because naturally we are not gods. No human being can be like God. But the Lord, when He got married to all these queens, it was 16,108 mandaps. 16 murtas cannot be so many. One murta. So the Lord simultaneously present in all these places. And well, if He is present, what about His relatives? Relatives are only one set. Devaki, Vasudev, and all the Dwarkavasis. Never mind, Lord said, I will expand you also. Everybody expanded into 16,108 forms and all present at simultaneously in all those places. This only the Lord can do. So who can imitate the Lord? It's amazing. And not only that, He personally was present with, otherwise if He had to spend time with every queen one day with one queen, how long it would take for Him to reach the 16,108th queen? Take a long time, many years probably. Somebody made a calculation actually. So He was present simultaneously with everyone. It's a very personal relationship. And a very important message that if you have a wife, if you have a partner, if you have a disciple, if you have a friend, you must be personal with them. I can do it on such a large scale. You can do it at least with one. With one? Why not with one? It's not necessary. That's why somebody said, it's not important how many friends you have on Facebook, but it is enough to have one. One who can look at your face, read your face like a book and ask you, what's up? What's up? Huh? WhatsApping and Facebook, you know. So it's sufficient. But you be personal with one. Ek to, you know. So Lord, and that's why in the pastime of Nagnajiti, one of the, again, the principal queens, when he went to Koshala, and Nagnajit, father of Nagnajiti, he went and said, give me your daughter in marriage. So I don't have even dowry to give you. I have nothing. He says, that's all right. I would love to give my daughter to you. And in fact, I have set up such a competition that only you, my dear Lord, can actually be able to win that competition. I specifically kept it just for you. These seven bulls with extremely sharp horns and violent, who even hate the smell of a kshatriya, they have been placed there for you to subdue them. Please, that subdue them and take the hand of my daughter in marriage. And the Lord smiled, expanded his forms into seven and dealt with all the seven bulls. He didn't kill them. And today's, you know, we have these bull fights where they kill the bull. You know, it's such a sin to kill a bull. So the Lord subdued them, tied them up and brought them. And the acharyas explained that why did he expand himself into seven forms? He expanded in order to convince Nagnajiti that don't worry, even though I have so many queens, I have the power to expand myself. You will get my personal association. Don't worry. You will have my personal association. I won't neglect you. So therefore, if somebody wants to imitate Krishna, they should make sure, you know, that they maintain properly. Today, even one wife people cannot maintain. One wife also. So difficult. That's why when I was in Vrindavan, that devotee, Russian devotee, he was telling one nice anecdote when a man was asked, you know, do you believe in UFOs, unidentified flying objects? So he said, before my marriage I didn't, but after marriage, yes, I believe. All these, you know, wife keeps throwing all these things at me. She's wild at me for not giving me time, and you know, she's so busy and whatever. You know, the reason is it's so difficult to maintain one wife. But the Lord not just maintained them, pleased them, personally was present with them, gave them a lot of love, affection, and in that way we can see so many such lessons to be learned in this wonderful pastime of Rukmini being teased by Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande.